Well, welcome everybody. So good to see you today. Yes, that's correct. We are continuing in our series. We had two introduction sessions, and then this is our fifth specific teaching in the Unshakable series. And so the whole focus has been on an unshakable kingdom. Would you all agree that our current world is a bit shaky at times? For sure. And so it's great to have these constant reminders that there is a kingdom that those who are followers of Jesus Christ are a part of that cannot be shaken. Now, full disclosure, this is about provision, and it is a difficult subject because Scripture does say that God will meet our needs. God will answer our prayers. God will give us everything that we need. But I'm sure there's some of you here in this audience who are like, it's been 20 years. I've been praying for the same thing, God. Where is your provision? Where are you? For me personally, it's been 4 years, and I've come to the place where I just believe I just may never be healthy again, physically. It's just something that I am going to endure. But yet it's in those times of difficulty where we persevere and endure because of the Holy Spirit, because of God's provision. And we can still experience joy in that. So I want to, as we get into this, and I'm going to speak of God's provision, meeting our needs, that he does meet our needs. He meets our basic needs and what we need at the exact moment, but sometimes it may not be what we're looking for. But hopefully we can have a change of understanding as we look at this particular topic. So we've been looking at kingdom living. We've discussed having confidence in the kingdom. Jeff really gave a wonderful talk. Everybody was waiting for him to pick on someone as he was talking about anxiety. And I'm sure most of us were a bit anxious at that time. But just to remind us that we're not to be anxious, and we're going to talk about that in this particular lesson, and then how the kingdom is visible through us as a reflection, as created in the image of God. We are image bearers. It's as if we're a mirror to who Jesus is to the world. And sometimes we're a mirror to not Jesus, to the world, but we are to reflect him. And then how this kingdom influences our relationships, and that we're all in a process and in a journey in this kingdom. It is a kingdom that is now, but has not been completely fulfilled yet. That's why sometimes this world will throw things at us that are not enjoyable. This kingdom has been established, but it is not in its fullness. And still, at this time, even though Jesus has won, he is victorious and we are victors, there is still a fallen world and acts of mankind that we experience. And so know that difficulty of a kingdom that is present but not in its fullness. God has been in the business of provision ever since day one, providing exactly what we need. He has a plan of redemption and provision for his people. His goal is to bless us at the perfect time and with what exactly we need to move through a situation. But I have to be honest, it is a human tendency to want to take control, to want to provide, if you will, to want to get, to want to consume. Unfortunately, wants sometimes overwhelm needs, what we need, and then wants then become more. If you watched the Super Bowl or commercials recently since the Super Bowl, there was an incredible video commercial about that topic of wanting more. It was part of the He Gets Us campaign. So just let this set us up. Maybe.
It's brighter than snow.
Look at this amazing demonstration.
I want to feel more beautiful.
In a search that has continued for centuries and its promise of more and more.
I'll be the talk of the town.
You've got to learn to get more pleasure out of this. Get more pleasure out of this.
Here come more daredevil drivers full of fantastic tricks. This just in. You don't want to be less.
A series on the changing American market. Come consumer.
You've got to learn to get more pleasure out of this. Get more pleasure out of this.
I don't know if that resonates with you. It definitely resonates for me. Coming from a different state than Montana, I know we all have similar needs and wants. Coming from a more culture, I have seen how this has infiltrated the lives of people, even Christians. And so I hope this is a reminder of how God provides. Now, it's not a negative thing to want to look at success in business, to move up in the proper way, or to ask, you know, will my career happen if you're a young person? Or will I experience the things I'm hoping for in life? None of that is negative in and of itself unless it becomes the primary focus of life. If this becomes the idol in your life that I must consume, I must have more, I must have the largest house, etc., etc., what if I lose everything I've worked so hard to build? What will I leave behind? So there are a lot of questions that we should ask. What would God want us to do with what we have? Who would God want us to share what we have? And so, good reminders as we jump into this teaching. Not that. So I love the Psalms. I love the honesty of the Psalms. I love how David and other psalmists bear their hearts, sometimes in a struggling way, where are you, God? And then ending up with, I know you're there. The Psalms are the songbook of the early church. And just as we jump into this, just a quick reminder. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. One of the verses we're going to talk about today is how God cares for the lilies, the flowers, the grass, and the beasts, and the birds. And he cares so much more for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you and hopefully be challenged and hopefully also see you and be confident in you and what you desire for us. We thank you that you provided the greatest gift anyone could ever receive when your Son came to this earth, died on a cross for our sins, and was resurrected so that death could be conquered. The greatest provisions, Lord, and it's because of your love. We praise you that we serve a God who would want to dwell among us in his Son Jesus, and a God who would send a helper, a counselor, a comforter in the Holy Spirit and provide that for us so we can make it through this fallen, decaying world and bring light and bring joy and hope in difficult, dark situations. In your name, amen. So our primary verse has been Hebrews 12:28, talking about this unshakable kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Can we as followers of Jesus Christ be shaken? Yes. But this kingdom, its foundation, its cornerstone is on Jesus Christ. And so these reminders that this kingdom cannot be shaken, so worship, be thankful. And that really puts us in the mindset to receive the provision that God is longing to provide for us. No matter what the circumstances, the Christ follower can persevere with the Holy Spirit and give all thankfulness and worship to God since he provided his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. The big question is there someone or something that we put on a pedestal and worship more than this God? For me, it is myself. Control, striving, wanting more, wanting this, looking at this in the wrong way, I end up putting myself up on the throne instead of worshiping the true God. So thankfully, I'm surrounded by wonderful Christ followers who remind me that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But I know what it truly means to be shaken. 1989. Obviously, this isn't the spiritual sense, but this shook me to my core. October 17th, some call it the World Series earthquake. It was an interesting time for my family. I had just gotten married. Annette's family were Giants fans. My family were A's fans, and they were playing in the World Series. And so I was ready for game three. Annette hadn't showed up yet, probably because the A's were up 2-0, but I don't know. And so we're talking on the phone, and we have been living, it's been so gracious. My grandfather built a bit of a shack as a second story on top of the home that my family grew up in. And we were living there for free, which was such a blessing in California, you can imagine, free rent. And so my grandfather had built it. He wasn't a contractor, but he could craft different things. And so I'm talking on the phone to Annette, who is about 12 or 13 miles away. Our house was close to the epicenter of the Loma Prieta earthquake. And so it rolled down the coastal mountains and hit me on the phone. And our house, with a 6.9 earthquake, like I said, my grandfather built it. I think it was plywood sides with maybe a little insulation, was going all over the place. And I said, Annette, do you feel that? And then eerily, 15 seconds later, oh yeah, because it moved down the fault line towards her, and she was in a building that was on rollers. That's what we did with earthquakes back then in California, and her building just went back and forth nice and easy, and she's, oh yeah, we're having an earthquake. I'm all, no, we're having an earthquake. So I was shaken to the core. I know we're supposed to be cleaned white as snow, but when Annette arrived 2 hours later, because of lights out and traffic and accidents and things, she looked at me and I was white as snow. Sitting in the driveway, I would not go back in the house. Because of that 6.9 earthquake, followed by a 6.7 aftershock, they just kept coming. And I was in shock. So were my neighbors, because we were so close. So I know what it means to be shaken to the core. I'm sure you've all experienced situations in your life like that. There will be bumps, tremors, aftershocks, changes of plans. But here's the important thing. God is steady and unshakable and with us at all times. He reminds us in Luke, and we're actually going to talk about the sister passage in Matthew, instead, seek his kingdom, the unshakable kingdom, and these things will be added to you. These things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's been our emphasis this entire time. He wants to give us that unshakable kingdom. He wants us to come into it fully and experience it, even if it is not full yet. But we still get glimpses and are strengthened by God. This kingdom is the central teaching of Jesus, especially in the book of Matthew. Sermon on the Mount is all about kingdom living. Some people will look at Matthew 5-7 and say, oh, there's an excuse. We can never do that. We're not supposed to be humble. We're not supposed to be meek. We're not supposed to love our enemies. No, this is kingdom living now, even if it's difficult. And so that's why Matthew 5-7 and the passage that we're going to talk about a little later is so important to us in our formation. Now, God has provided for a long time, ever since Genesis 3, really. I mean, Genesis 1 and 2, the garden, this perfect space where Adam and Eve are living, is a great provision. But Adam and Eve, kind of, as I've mentioned, wanted to take matters into their own hands. They wanted to become the small g God. They didn't trust, they didn't listen, even though they were being provided for in a perfect way. They chose to turn their backs on it. Now, yes, Satan was there and moving about them and was trying to deceive as he does. And so they took the bite. They took the step. And so God had to provide a way for them to have proper clothing and that he would remind them that he's with them. But then after Genesis 3, there's this fascinating passage in Exodus. Some of you may be familiar with it, where this thing called manna falls to the earth. It's It's at the during the time where the Israelites, God's chosen people, they've left Egypt. They've been given tons of gold. God continued to provide. God continues to do miraculous things for them. But yet, like me, and maybe some of you, they complain. This isn't good enough, God. I mean, gee whiz, you just parted the Red Sea and saved us from the greatest army of all mankind, but what are you going to do for me lately? And so they continue to really give Moses a bad time and continue to gripe. And so this event happens that we really don't know what it was, and they really didn't know what it was, but it was exactly what they needed to survive, nourishment. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. I've spent like 2 or 3 days trying to figure out, what would that look like? Maybe some nice light snow, please, Lord, bring it. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? And that's actually what the word manna means. What is it? And for they did not know what it was, and Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Have you ever paid attention to how many different times bread is mentioned in Scripture? The daily bread, the bread of life. Bethlehem means city of bread, and that's where the Savior was born. It is a wonderful thread of God's provision for not just physical needs of his people, but the spiritual and kingdom needs. So even though they didn't know what it was, but it was exactly what they needed. And here's why God provided. So just think of the perfect meal bar. Not what the astronauts used to have. I know I'm old, Tang and some sort of protein bar that probably tasted like a military ration. But this thing that actually tasted good provided you everything you needed. So then you could go and do your job. And work, and then have a time of rest, and then have a time of worship of God, not focusing on other things or griping about other things, but just taking your manna, that is the perfect thing, having your body filled, you're being nourished, and then go about your daily life, which provided rest and worship of God. Exactly what they needed. But if you continue to pay attention to Scripture after that, the complaining started again. Once again, we're like that. Now, I want to tell a story. Some of you may be familiar with George Mueller, and so I think within the provision spectrum, there's George Mueller, then there's probably most of us. And so I think the happy medium is probably the best thing. So George Mueller, he's quite the hero of mine. He was somebody who wanted to shake the current kingdom system, he was in the UK at the time, to bring in the true kingdom to bless other people. He really shook things up. In his first preaching gig as a young man, he decided not to take a salary because he believed that might cause people to give out of duty instead out of calling. Do you imagine that? Pastors and preachers don't make a lot of money. I just want y'all to know that. And he decides not to take any salary. He wanted to rely on God's provision, and he wanted to see his people grow. He also eliminated the renting of church pews. Now, the Quigleys always have this pew with Jen at the end, but they don't have to pay for it. But back in the day, you paid for your pew or your square box where you and your family sat for decades, if not centuries. And he believed that that gave prestige to the wealthy, which it really did. But in his first big ministry calling, which was equipping Christian schools, he did not receive any government support and only accepted unsolicited gifts. Now get this, this organization, without asking for any money, received and distributed around $113 million in today's terms. Wow. It doesn't stop there. George just kept going. He's a guy who lived out the God will provide. So he decides to start orphanages. The first one was actually in his little shack house parsonage with his wife, and they just started taking in orphans. It was a huge problem in England. And in one of the most famous quotes, stories about George Mueller. So now at this time, he has hundreds and hundreds of orphans. Thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient levels of fresh bread to feed everyone. And the milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. If you read anything on George Mueller, this is not a one-time incident. He ended up establishing 117 schools, which offered Christian education to more than 120,000 people without asking for a dime. He cared for 10,000 orphans during his lifetime, provided educational opportunities for the orphans to the point that he was even accused by some of raising the poor above their natural station in British life. Sometimes you're going to do the right thing for God and people are going to persecute you. Where faith begins, anxiety ends. Where anxiety begins, faith ends. Now, if I had said that, that would be hypocritical. But the fact that George said that, I have to listen. We consider it our precious privilege to continue to wait upon the Lord only instead of buying goods on credit or borrowing money from kind friends. So like I said, there's this extreme, and maybe we're not called to that, but maybe some of you are called to that. But we are all called to use our means for others and to rely on God for his provision. So as I said, a history of provision. Genesis 3. Adam and Eve have sinned. They've tried to cover themselves because they've noticed something's up. And then God actually kills one of his creation to cover them with clothes. God sacrifices immediately to meet the needs of Adam and Eve. Then in Genesis 22, one of the more unique stories, still trying to get my head around that one, where God asks Abraham to go up on a mountain and offer his son, who has become a bit of an idol, a small g god, as a sacrifice. Obviously, God is not into child sacrifice, except his son who came down to earth for us. But as they are about ready, and it says in the text, as Abraham has the knife above tied down 12-year-old Isaac, they notice a ram in the bush. God provided. He just was testing the faith and obviously the anxiety level of Abraham. Then if you read Judges, even though there's a ton of humans screwing up and Kings and Samuel, you will see so many opportunities where God not only provided victory for them, but also relief from enemies and times of rest in God to reflect on his provision. And then Matthew 28, all authority, I have all authority, Jesus says, and I give it to you on multiple occasions. One to go, release people from demons. One to go and release people from infirmities. But to bring that wonderful power and authority of the kingdom that has arrived to the people. And then in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, and now I give it to you, the apostles, to go out and share the word of God with others. And then probably one of the most is the Holy Spirit, and we'll get to that in a second. So our main text, it's a large text. We'll spend a little time here, but if you have your Bibles, Matthew 6, 25 through 33, smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Beatitudes, salt and light, those types of incredible teachings. 6 is totally about relying on God for things that we may find difficult to do. It is one of the most precious pieces of scripture that we have. The teachings are amazing. More than likely, it's a compilation in Matthew and then Luke's eyes of the greatest teachings, the highlights of Jesus focused in 3 chapters. And so there was just a chapter on trying to worship God and what's called mammon or money or power etc., and how Jesus continues on this, no, listen to God and let him provide. So let's read it. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. So life and body, two very, very important things, and then Jesus is going to add on to that, clothes and different things like that. But think about this. So the creator of the universe, and John would tell us it's Jesus, breathed life, animated creation. Animals and then humans as the apex of creation, breathed life, provided this body that we utilize to be the reflections in the image of God on our earth. And so don't worry about those two things, because God's the one who created them, and God is going to help take care of those in his perfect timing. So don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. As we saw early in Genesis 3, God provided what they were going to wear. Is not life more than food? I have a little argument. No, I'm kidding. I love food. And the body more than clothing? Those are basic things. We need them. That is not the issue. He is not saying stop eating and go walk around without any clothes on. You're going to get arrested. He is saying that do not put all of your effort and might into those things. Yes, be clothed, no problem. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Okay, here's where we have to go. Okay, there's a generalized teaching God is giving us. Have any of you seen a dead bird who died of maybe not getting food? Sure, right? Etc. Did God not care for that bird? No, he's talking about how he does provide. There is food, and sometimes because it's a decaying world, death will occur. Okay, but you get the general idea. Look at the birds of the air. They don't have to work very much. Yes, they do. They make nests, then they go out and find worms and regurgitate to their little ones. So, yes, there is a process of work there. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they are? We are created on the sixth day as the apex of creation. Remember that provision and gift. And which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? This is probably one of the best statements I've ever seen in Scripture. Like, no duh. What does anxiety do for you? Goes the other way, right? But I love this. So I'm going to worry about this because then I'll just have a much better life. That's his point. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, or depending on which translation, wildflowers, since we're heading into March, April, wildflower season, June. I'm going with wildflowers and just the beauty that they just appear. Wait a second, nobody watered those wildflowers. Here they are. Well, somebody watered the wildflowers. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yeah, wouldn't that be funny? I know we're having different movies, like the new one about the young girl who becomes like a groundhog or something like that, or a gopher. I would love to see one about plants spinning and making things out there, right? No, not going to happen. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, so for those of you who are not familiar with Solomon, the third king of combined Israel, who was probably the most wealthy human ever to live, not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these beautiful wildflowers. As someone who loves wildflowers, I completely resonate with that. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and they actually used literal round ovens that were usually made out of clay or something, and they would use grass like we would do, really dry grass to start your fire, to bake your food. But even if that grass is beautiful, and I love bear grass and the different kinds of grass we have in Montana, you know, but they do fade away. And thrown into the oven for use. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? As George Mueller said, lack of faith, anxiety blooms. O you of little faith. One of my favorite passages in Mark 9, where this man has a son who is demon-possessed, and he's asked Jesus' disciples, please help him. It's not working, and they can't do anything about it. And then Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he has this conversation with this man. The man believes, has faith that Jesus Christ can heal his son. And Jesus says, all you need is faith. You know, well, you think I can do it or not? And he says, I have faith, but help my unbelief. That is my call. God, I have faith that you will provide. Help me to stop controlling. Help me to truly believe that and help my faith. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink and what shall we wear? I mean, once again, that is a practical issue that we all need and we all strive for. There's nothing wrong for that, but it's when we put it in the wrong priority. Because even the Gentiles who don't know any better seek after all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. You need food. You need shelter. You need clothing. He knows that. What's really interesting is that his son, when he was on the earth, especially for the last 3 years of his ministry, was homeless. But yet he knew that God the Father would provide, and he did, even when it became difficult. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's that kingdom thing again. All these things will be added to you. Once again, those things, food, shelter, clothing. Will God at times provide other things because we have a job that allows us to get something we might enjoy? Yes, of course. We are living here on this earth, but once again, it is a comment on priorities. When the kingdom of God is first, the priorities here on earth change. We only see needs, and then we utilize our means to bless others. Once again, Jesus is warning against anxiety, but he's not warning against thoughtful planning or estate planning or anything like that. Our physical well-being is directly dependent on God and only indirectly on food, drink, and clothing. They are important for our physical well-being. Anxiety over earthly things demonstrates a lack of faith and a lack of understanding of God's care. This is a kingdom world, a world as it should be, but is not yet in fulfillment. Remember that. There are the acts of mankind. There are disasters that we call acts of God, but their nature. In verse 32, Gentiles served pagan idols. If you've ever thought about this Old Testament, I believe there is a God that's going to provide water for my plants, grass to come up, that there won't be any droughts. And so I am going to make this little statue or this little statue, and I am going to worship the God through that statue. Sorry if that offended anybody, but I do have one. And if we are not getting rain, then I need to elevate my actions to that idol so that the God will act. Including, if you read Elijah and the prophets of Baal, we're going to cut ourselves and bleed to show how much we're willing to sacrifice for this non-existent small g God to give us something here on earth. Oh, and if that doesn't work, we're going to offer our babies or our friends or whatever as a sacrifice so that this God will make action. Do we do that in our lives, but just in a different type of way? Maybe so. Hopefully, you know, not to those extremes. But at times we can get so fixated on this out here and what I want. And I want more than my friend. I love a Richard Foster quote. Sometimes we buy things to impress people we don't even like. We get into this cycle. No, we should only try to impress, and we don't even impress God. God knows who we are. He knows who I am and my darkness and problems. I don't need to be completely fixed or whole to come to him. But as we talked about, it is a process in the kingdom of God becoming more like Jesus. James, brother of Jesus, he also has some words about this, but the main part of this passage that you'll also study in your workbook this week, verse 17, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that is good is going to be from the Father. Every gift we're giving, we need to keep in perspective, is from above. I remember I was so bad as a kid. How many of you my age remember Discman or Walkman? So one year for Christmas, I was a teenager. I should know a lot better. But I really wanted a Discman, and I wanted a Sony Discman. And once again, here's this want thing happening. I opened up the present, and it was a Discman, but it was not a Sony. I was so distraught. Pretty sad. No, everything from God, once again, is exactly what we need, and it's a perfect gift from Him. His Son was perfect. His Son, the ultimate sacrifice for us, was perfect. The most incredible gift that could ever be provided for us came down from the Father of lights. Do we live in a world full of darkness? Are we the light? Right now, as we were driving in, Annette prayed for all the churches in Helena. We have an incredible opportunity. In the Helena area proper, we have maybe 70 to 75,000 people. There are only seats for 5,000 people in our churches in Helena and outside Helena. There is a mission for us to reflect the Father of lights who has provided for us that we may carry that kingdom out. Paul gets a little more on this, and sorry that it got cut off the slide. So Paul in Romans 12. Paul, if you aren't familiar with Paul, and if you're not familiar with the book of Romans, this is heady stuff. This is, I'm going to take an entire year to read the book stuff. So here's what I want you to do, and this is from the Message. So Eugene Peterson, a great Montanan, he makes life a little easier for us. Instead of reading the ESV in this passage, he kind of brings it into my level anyway. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's that finishing the loop with regards to we have this unshakable kingdom, so worship. Now that we have everything that we need from God, and He has provided, and we live our entire lives as worship to God, offering to God. I'm not saying necessarily what you offer with this or your checkbook or online. Most of our giving's online, as JR mentioned, but people still use checkbooks like me. But this is an offering of everything, your everyday, ordinary life. How can you utilize the ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around to serve the kingdom and provide for others? The rest of that particular sentence says, and God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Worship Him and thank Him. And so just a few kind of thoughts to leave you with. I just love the way that God works. Right now I have three different Lent devotionals that I'm working through. Jeff mentioned Lent. And this was in one of the particular devotionals as I was planning for this sermon. Thank you, God. It didn't end up having a lot of time for the sermon, so I love when He gives me quotes. Loving Father, You desire to feed, clothe, and shelter all Your children. Forgive the sin that seeks to feed, to dress, and to live at the expense of those in need. Grant the generosity that seeks to care for all that You have given through Christ our Lord. Amen. And hence why Christians around the world take an extended period of time working our way towards Easter, where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to give up or sacrifice something so we can grow closer to God and use what we have to be generous to others. God's greatest provisions to us. Obviously, there's many, but I would say love. God says, I am love. God is love. As we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I've repeated that sacrifice and that offering so many times so that we would not perish. And then John 15:13, there is no greater love than when someone lays down their life for another. And sometimes that might mean sacrificing one of our wants so that we can help the needs of another. Love. Love came down. Oh, where's my young adults? A great U2 song from Bono. Yeah. One day I was doing this Bible study and I was talking about Bono from U2 and blank stares. And then they started looking at each other and going, do you know who that is? Do you know? And once I said it was U2, then they got it. But so that's for you guys. No greater love. Greater love has, as I said, someone who lays down his life for his friends. So think about this. As a provision, what words of love and affirmation does God share with those of us who are Christ followers? You are loved. You are the apex of my creation. I have given you and breathed into you soul. You are sons and daughters. You are brothers and sisters. You are created in the image of God. That one should just kind of sink in for a while. The image of love. You are uniquely created, formed, and the kingdom is yours. In God's love, he says, I will provide. And in God's love, he loves us so much, a love that leads to eternal life with God. Whew, I can't wait. Words of love and affirmation are like bread. There it is again. We need them each day over and over. They keep us alive inside. Love is so important, and we serve a God who is love. Another provision that's incredible is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in chapter 2 came down upon the apostles, and then they were allowed to do miraculous events and gifts after that. So the Holy Spirit is called a helper for us, John 14. The Holy Spirit can give us words to say in situations where we are facing trials. The Holy Spirit reveals true reality. If you've ever studied Revelation, John from Jesus Christ and angels is giving us a true reality of the spiritual warfare that is going on around us. One of my favorite Christmas stories is of Simeon, where the Holy Spirit reveals that Jesus Christ, this little baby, is the Son of God and the Messiah. The Holy Spirit leads. And with regards to provision, this is a tough one. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Sign me up. But the Holy Spirit may lead you into situations that may be difficult where you will grow, learn how to persevere, learn how to endure, and learn how to rely on the provision of God more. And that's what Satan tempts Jesus with. Hey, you need some bread? Make it out of this rock, which he could have done. Oh, you want to be the ruler of the kingdoms? I'll make you number two, etc. The Holy Spirit leads us into good and sometimes difficult situations. Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be witnesses. As we are the reflection, we are witnesses, ambassadors to Jesus Christ and his ministry. And then the Holy Spirit comforts. In Acts 9, the church was comforted by the Holy Spirit as it faced persecution. Our persecution may look different than persecution around the world, but we as believers are being persecuted. And thank goodness we have the Holy Spirit within us who helps us work through that persecution. A couple of questions and thoughts just to take these with you, to chew on, to think about if any of this has resonated with you. If there is a need that you have, and as I said, I have been sick for 4 years, and I constantly am bringing that up to God in honest prayer. As I said, he has not chosen to heal me yet, and I have to rely that he is going to provide what I need to work through this difficult situation. Where is trust in self and the need for control blocking you from receiving what God has for you? I ask myself that hourly. Where is accumulation of things, of power, of whatever, a hindrance in your life? And then who can you bless today because of the provision God has given you? There's a famous story where two different people go in to give their offerings, and one very wealthy person gives enough that makes everything shake and jingle and like, wow, that guy gave a lot. And then this older lady who's a widow comes in and drops in just a couple cents. She didn't have much. She was a widow in that time. Widows usually weren't taken care of. They couldn't get work. They had a real struggle, but she gave. And Jesus said, blessed is someone who gives like she did. Out of the less or out of the more, we are called to give. Another thing, as I mentioned, God just continues to throw things related to provision into my life. This is from a devotional from yesterday. I want to share this beautiful poem with you. You'll hear echoes of Psalm 23. My shepherd will supply my need. The Lord God is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. When I walk through the shades of death, your presence is my stay. One word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. Your hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows. Your oil anoints my head. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode and all my work be praise. Back to that worship comment. There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home. Would you stand? Would you read along with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is the word of the Lord. And now I just want to say a benediction, a closing over you before Rebecca comes back up. May the Lord provide exactly what you need this week. And may we act as members of his kingdom, seeing his provision in our daily lives and honoring him by sharing that provision with others and thanking him with true daily worship. God bless you.